Welcome back to part two of today's Corolla Classics. Now we're going to listen to a clip back in 2010, and it's not going to even have Adam in it at all. This is from December of 2010. We're going to hear Harlan Williams taking over the host seat with Ralphie May as the guest and Shira Lazar as the newsgirl.
Unfortunately, Adam told Harlan about his plan for six-minute abs, and he was never seen again.
Dope.
From that rest stop. Harlan took over the show for a short while. Shira Lazar filled in on news. Ralphie May's the guest. Brian Bishop, of course, on sound effects. December of 2010. This is just the portion with Ralphie in studio. Enjoy.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show podcast. And I'm going to throw some initials out here. RM. And then I'm going to sing Ralphie May.
Hi, Harlan. How are you?
Folks.
It's a pleasure to be here. It's so funny. If you're watching this, I blend in perfectly unplanned with the sofa. So if you just see a floating head, that's me. I don't care. I'm that high. I could be just a floating head.
Ralphie walked in here. By the way, this is Ralphie May.
Hi,
hilarious
kids.
Comedian. He's been working the clubs, the colleges, the theaters, the TVs, the everything. Everyone knows Ralphie May. He's a fantastic stand-up comedian. I've worked with Ralphie for many years here in Hollywood.
At least 12 years we've been kicking it around. You know, we used to, those nights at the Laugh Factory. If you look back on that fucking lineup, like those, like I have old lineup sheets.
Yeah.
You went up first on the 10 o'clock show on a Saturday night. It was my first three show night, okay? And then, because it was holidays and people were away. But it was you. And then Dan Cook.
Definitely not funny.
Wow. Was that for Harlan or Dane? I don't know.
Okay,
either way.
That was for me, believe me.
And then me. And then and Rodney Dangerfield popped in.
Wow.
That's why there was only three. All right. And he did the early show and had such a good time. Went to dinner and came back and did the late show. I mean the 10 o'clock show with me and you. So it was you and then Rodney. And then Dane Cook, and then me, and I'm sitting there and going, this is the greatest fucking show I've ever been a part of. And then I'm like, holy fuck, I gotta follow this shit. Like, I need this drama in my goddamn life.
Well, wait, let me ask you something, because when I have to follow guys, like I've had to do stand-up where I've had to follow Seinfeld and Rodney Dangerfield Dice Clay, and we've all done it.
Yeah.
Do you get like bummed out about it? Are you like, oh my God, this is... Or I get pumped. To me, it's like a challenge. It's like,
me too.
That guy's the king of comedy, and I'm gonna go up there, and I'm rising to the occasion.
The same people laughed. I'm gonna
there
make them
you
laugh.
Go.
You know, like there's space in comedy enough that I can make them laugh too with whatever I'm doing. But you know, I mean, that was when, I mean, we were all so honed. You know what I mean? And they're doing those 20-minute sets, and then have a legend come up, Rodney Dangerfield. And stick around and laugh at us. And you're sitting there and you're like, holy shit, I'm a fan of everybody that's on this show. Okay. And then to be a part of it, it's just an honor. You know, you like, that's one of those moments you have an epiphany where you're like, fuck it. I don't care that I'm the brokest one on this fucking lineup. I don't give a shit that I'm living in a studio apartment. Okay. You know, and selling weed on the side and trying to make money.
What?
Okay.
What?
All right. I don't give a shit. I am here and I have fucking arrived. You know, this little kid from, you know, White Trash, Arkansas, you know, where he grew up. And now you're here with these legends. And these, I mean, you movie stars, you know, Dane hadn't hit yet. All right. And it was, I mean, arguably, you know, the most successful comedian in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Him and Larry the Cable Guy.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, those two are fucking phenomenal. And then you just follow these, you just get awestruck a little bit. You know, it makes me more of a fan, you know. And I miss that. I miss that camaraderie. I miss that hanging out at the Laugh Factory. Jamie Masada. Rafferty, man. The time you're on the stage, man, you light it up.
Well, here's what people don't get about stand-up comedy is that you know there's a group of guys like Ralphie and myself and Dane and all these guys that were known as headliners, and we travel around the country and we're like the headlining act at the comedy clubs and at the theaters and all that. And because we're the headliners, we rarely get to work together.
Yeah. We see each other. We never see each other.
Right. So when we get, that's one of the real special things about working in Hollywood. You go down to a club like the Laugh Factory, the Improv, and all us guys that are normally separated because we're headlining in different parts of the country and the world, we all get to work together, and it's a blast.
It's a blast, and it's like a comedy explosion. I mean, it's like that fucking super collider in Switzerland and France, you know, little black holes. You know?
Don't get me going on that.
Oh, I know, right?
Wouldn't you love to throw a microwave dinner in one of those and see what happens?
Wrap that bitch up.
Like Swanson's Hungry Man Salisbury steak, throw it in the super collider,
With the mash and the carrots.
What are you going to get? Peas. I mean, look what happens when you throw it in your microwave. Imagine throwing that in a super collider.
It'd be awesome.
Delicious.
So good. Oh, man.
Dude, I want to do my Christmas turkey in that thing.
Let's
go to Switzerland.
Some Orville Redenbacher, motherfucker. Let's pop that corn.
Let's pop some popcorn in the super collider. And if we're in Switzerland,
you think air popped is good, or butter, or kettle.
Super collider.
Super collider corn.
And we'll throw it in. And since we're in Switzerland, we'll toss the WikiLeaks guy in with the popcorn. Now I got to ask you this. This cracked me up because you know we travel a lot. We go through airports.
Yeah,
and I read recently, Ralphie, that you're a dog lover. You love animals.
I am.
And I heard you. This happened to me too. You were going through a foreign airport.
No, it was
tell
U.S. territory.
Yeah, what happened?
I was going to Guam to do a series of shows, and I was so tired and worn out that I didn't remove everything from my bag that I should have. And this is what I took out of my bag. 3.5 ounces of weed, 1 ounce of keef, 20 grams of hash.
What's keef?
Keef is like the pollen concentrate of marijuana and crystals. And so it's like pollen and crystals for marijuana. It's super concentrated. It's really great. I wish I had something.
I thought you were tight.
It was awesome.
I thought you were tight with Kiefer Sutherland.
No.
I had the Keith in my suitcase.
I always thought that's where he got his name from. You know,
maybe
Donald
yeah.
Sutherland. Remember like Kelly's Heroes.
Yeah.
Where he's like, you're always bumming me out, more, you know, Moriarty with the negative waves, man. You know, he was a total stoner in World War II. It's like And MASH. You know, he followed us right up against each other. Yeah, I'm saying Kiefer. Yeah, I'm saying he had Keef.
He's got a kid named Hash. So you took all what you thought were the goodies out of your bag.
About $2,500 worth of marijuana products out of my bag, and I didn't get it all. I had an extra 14 grams in there in a bag, a smelly proof bag at the bottom. And
who caught you?
Guam. I caught myself.
But wasn't there a little doggy involved?
Yeah, there was.
Tell us.
This is very fucking dumb, and it's an admission, and this is why you love it, is because it's something that, and you know me, how this is how I would do it. I'm a dog lover. I hadn't seen my dogs in 4 weeks, and I was coming off the plane, and my wife was already downstairs with the kids, and I was the last on the plane, and she's like, "You don't have anything on you, do you?" And I'm like, "No." She goes, "Are you sure?" And I'm like, "Yeah, positive. I took everything out of my bag. Are you sure? Because there's fucking dogs everywhere." And I'm like, "It's not going to be any problem. It's cool. I love dogs. Great." And me and my wife, we give a ton of money to animals, charities. Okay,
and look how they pay you back.
And so I go 30 feet out of my way. The dog was smelling something else. And go to pet the dog. And then the dog sits down. And that means to the trainer that they have a positive.
Yeah.
I just thought the dog really wanted to be petted. All right. So I'm petting the dog. And I'm like, "You're a good baby, aren't you? Yes, you are." And then there was another dog about 25 feet away, and I motioned for it to come over. And the trainer saw that dog being sitting down in front of me, and like the dog's looking back at the trainer while I'm petting its head, like, "Is this a test? Are you testing me? Is this a joke?" I mean, and I bring the other dog over, and it sits down too. So I'm like, "These dogs get it. I'm a dog lover."
Why'd you go towards all the dogs?
Because I didn't think I had anything on me, and I miss my dogs.
Wow,
you know?
That's
I'm one
crazy.
Of those people. I'm so annoying. You know?
Might as well have like soaked your shoes in Alpo.
Oh, I mean, yeah, man. Yeah.
Wow.
And
so did they give you the rubber glovey thing?
Yeah, I got the glovey thing.
No.
I did. Because
of a cute little beagle, you got a hand up your butt?
It wasn't even a beagle. I wish it was a beagle. She was a shepherd mix. She was a mutt. But she's a pretty girl, you know?
Did the dog get to watch?
I'm trying to adopt the dog. No.
The dog didn't get to watch.
No,
they gave you a cavity search?
They got close to it. Like wow. I didn't get a knuckle deep, but I did get the elevator button pushed. Okay, oh. A couple of times.
Touch the starfish.
Yeah.
Punch the panda eye.
And I'm like, I've got my. Before they do it, they go, hey, we have to do a strip search. It's over in this 10x10 white room, right?
Oh, catch the sea urchin.
And I go, well, I'd like to apologize to you guys for what y'all are about to endure. And I said, you know, when we get done with this, you might want to talk to your union rep about a little post-traumatic stress disorder, you know, a couple of weeks off, you know, take some money and run. It's a government job. You can claim it was horrific. And then they go, don't make any sudden moves. And I giggle, and they're like, what are you laughing about? And I'm like, I haven't made a sudden move since 96 when I tripped on the ice in Toronto at the comedy festival. Fucking the guy from Yuck Yucks, Mark Breslin something. He booked me to do that goddamn thing and I busted my ass. Bruised all the way up. Fell on Yonge Street. And Canadians, y'all say you're fucking nice. You're just as dicky as everybody else. Nobody fucking helped me. I got laughed at twice. Oh. It's fucking because y'all are used to walking on the ice. I'm from the South. You know?
Where are you from? What part of the South?
I was born in Tennessee and raised in Arkansas, so I'm related to me.
Because you got an accent going, and you don't get mad at me. I always thought you were like a Cajun guy.
Well, kind of. That's what it all adds up to. You know, I mean, I went from Houston. It's where I started doing stand-up at 18. So, you know, you add all that up, and it equals Louisiana.
Can you tweak it? Can you make it go even like crazier than you're talking right now? Like, can you go to this place?
I don't think so. Everybody else says I do, but
no.
So,
but can you
know.
Do it if you want to? Like right no, now, you no. you can't go right here.
No,
like,
but
right
if I do notice that when I'm back in the South more, it turns itself up.
Yeah,
it's like it's subconscious, but you know, it's way of community.
You ever notice?
When you drink more, does it happen?
I don't drink. I don't drink. I just smoke weed. You know, I got enough risk factors as is. I don't need to add another one.
Well, you ever notice if you go over to like Australia or the UK or something, and you're there for about a week, and you're like, listen to all these bloody weird accents, right? But then after about 10 days, you'll go into a shop, and you're like, look, could I get one of those, please? Like you kind of start talking like them a little bit. It's weird.
For Southerners, it's harder to do because we've mangled the English language so far that there's like Canada's more closely tied to the UK, so I think it's easier for y'all to make the jump. Than it is for us being from the South, but we're also closely tied. You know, yonder we still use yonder.
I love yonder. I went over yonder the other day.
Man,
it's great. When was the last
yonder? I yonder all the time, man.
I yonder every chance I get. But here's the thing, and this is where I'm standing up for my friend Ralphie right here. A lot of people mock the Southern accent. And I love the Southern accent. I think it's got charm.
It's
unique. I just love it. Especially a girl. When you meet a girl,
she's sexy.
Says, come on,
yoo-hoo,
boy.
Charm.
Come on in for a lemonade. Mama just squeezed you a little old lemonade. You come
Make
in here, wipe the moss off your face. I love it.
It's like a Tennessee Williams film. It's
awesome. I think I just yondered right there.
Was that technically a
yonder?
It was a little bit of a yonder.
Oh, I love it. I love me. Do you have a Southern banjo thing or anything in there?
No, that's too rapey.
That's redneck.
That's
rapey.
A little rapey.
Is rapey a word?
No, but it's my new one of my new favorite adjectives.
It sounds like
somebody who's kind of drunk, a little fucked up dude, and he's looking at a girl, and you're like, yeah, you look kind of rapey, dude. You need to back it off a little bit, rapey.
Instead of douchebag, you say rapey.
It sounds like a new Kool-Aid flavor.
Sometimes they lose, you've seen dudes
and you're rapey.
Hit on you, and like they're like, they won't, like they, you ever have a guy pursue you around a club?
No.
You're a beautiful girl.
No, I haven't.
No, you're a beautiful girl.
Oh,
okay?
I'm sorry. Okay.
Stop.
At those
clubs,
remember, Harlan?
All right.
Well, it sounds to me like it could be a new Baskin-Robbins flavor. Like, I'll have a double scoop of the goofy rapey.
I like a little rapey on that one.
Yeah. Give me a rapey sundae. Am I going too far here? Am I going way too beyond yonder?
I think so.
Crazy Ralphie May. I want to ask you, I don't know if you, do you ever talk about politics?
I do a little bit.
Because this isn't that political, but I want to know, I find that so many people hate Sarah Palin and they don't know why.
I know.
And I want to know, if you know why, and if you hate her or like her. I like her because she's just a woman doing her thing in America, and isn't that what America's all about? But people hate her for going for it. So what do you think? What do you guys think?
I mean, it just shows where we are as a society that dumb can fucking make it happen. You know, I mean, dumb is close to being president. That we've made it a beauty pageant. Okay,
well, she came out of nowhere.
Winner.
She came out of nowhere.
Yeah. And she quit as a governor, and but now she tells everybody how to run things. You quit, bitch. You quit. Shut up. You can't talk. You quit.
And now she has a reality show.
But wait a minute.
And have you seen the fucking promos for the reality show?
Before we do the reality show, let me be the devil's advocate.
And I want them to eat her. Okay, I'm waiting. Okay. I want to watch it just to see the grizzly bears go, fuck it, I'm union. Get those cameras out of here. I made my chops on the grizzly man show.
You want the grizzly man movie.
I want them to eat that broad. Like, all you hear, you know, it just goes to black, you know, test pattern. You hear, you know, bear. Oh, it smells like salmon. All right, that's awesome.
I like those. But you should have done those bear noises at those damn dogs at the airport.
Scared them. But the outcome of that, I got a $100 ticket for possession of marijuana less than an ounce, and they said that I could have gotten 3 counts of possession of a controlled substance in a federal facility, which is like 1 to 3 years per, and then transporting on an airplane is 1 to 3 years per. The $5,000 fine each, so it's $25,000 plus 15 years of my life is what it could have been. All right, and they go, we're not doing any of that for you because, in our shared experience of catching, you know, drug smugglers on the island of Guam, you're the first one that's ever gone up to a dog and petted it before. So we really, honestly, don't think you meant to fucking do it. So that's why we're just going to give you this ticket, go to traffic court, pay it, and
you must hate dogs now.
And you're the funniest. We'll try to keep it out of the press, but they'll get onto it because it's Guam and there's nothing going on here.
Well, that's a good ending. But I want to go back to the something you said about the Sarah Palin thing. And I'm going to be the devil's advocate because you got on about her,
she's dumb.
Her quitting, you know,
yeah, she quit.
Stopping the. But let me ask you this: is that really that big of a tilting point? Like, if someone's in a career and they've gone, you know what? I've done this. I've accomplished this. I'm stepping away from it. I want to move on to something else. Is it really that bad a thing? Like, if she wasn't a politician and she was a CEO at like Merrill Lynch, and the guy goes, you know what? I'm going to stop and go over to Hewlett Packard. Is it a big deal?
Yeah, a little bit, because it's different because it's not a corporation. It's a state. And these people who elected her for 4 years said, we want you to be our governor for 4 years. And you promised to fix stuff. And you failed us. You quit. You didn't complete your commitment. And it just shows a complete lack of commitment. I'm going to go where the money is. I'm hot right now, so fuck it all.
Well, how do you say no to being going for vice president?
No. Right? She was still governor while being a candidate for vice president.
Right.
All right. She had to wait till afterwards to quit. All right. And she'd only been governor for like 18 months, 19 months. And before that, she was a mayor. You know, so it's like a mayor, you know, PTA mom, mayor, governor, quit. Now she tells everybody where they're fucking up. Meanwhile, her kids are, they're having kids out of wedlock. They're fucking, you know, they're doing a lot of fucked up shit. And yet she cast the, and it wouldn't be any problem if she didn't put her lot herself as perfect. You know what I mean? Like taking diet tips from me is like having Sarah Palin be our president. You go, is really that's the best woman we could find in the whole of our nation.
Right.
That's the best. That's the best we got.
Well,
that's
more,
the best.
It's not the best that we've got. It's like who's ran. She decided to bite the bullet and run.
But let me ask you this, because it's obvious you don't like her. So if
I think she's dumb. I think she's ignorant. And that with nuclear weapons and our armed forces, as someone who goes out and saw what a dumb president did and has gone to Walter Reed and seen, maimed soldiers who fought and were injured and blown up and their whole lives were ruined in service of their nation, but it turned out to be a lie. It was a personal vendetta, okay? by people who committed, in my eyes, treasonous acts, you know, in several ways. They lied to us and got us to go be an empire. And it's a very scary fucking thing. We overthrew a nation, and that was a sovereign nation. You know, just because we don't fucking like you doesn't mean we can take you over. You know, there's a lot of places I don't like, but you can't just fucking mow them over. I mean, I have people who douchebags who drive Volvos. Okay, I fucking hate every one of them. They're horrible drivers. All right, I want to hit them with my car, but then I would be a horrible driver and taking out my rage. It's the same equivalent. We had no just cause to go into Iraq, and that's what a dumb president did. He got talked into it. All right, or he believed, or whatever, or they manufactured it to please somebody. And I'm sorry, you know, we need somebody smart. When they go, oh, I don't want some Ivy League educated guy, I go, that I do. Fuck yeah. I want the smartest person there. I want someone smarter than me running the shit. All right?
But like is anyone smarter than us? That's what I wonder. Whether it's a Democrat or a Republican, they all seem a little kooky to me. I don't know.
They're all crazy. I mean, they're so narcissistic that they have to. I mean, they so fucking want to be in charge of everything.
Well, this is
I might even run one day just because.
It's not because I
want to run everything. It's just because I'm so infuriated with the fucking choices. It's like, what the fuck? If that dumb dumb can do it, I know I can fucking do it. I mean, because I'm going to be immune from the corporate shit. You know, my whole life, you know, you're supposed to fit into some mold. You're supposed to do something. Go fuck yourself. You know, I'm here. I'm who I am. You know, it's like, I don't care. You know,
Wait a minute. Let me start.
There's also an indifference level that needs to be applied there. That we have useless, needless laws. Open everything up. All right. You don't like somebody being a drug addict. You don't like the drug trade and housing people and feeding them and health care. And, you know, we already have health care in this nation. Just take a gun and stick somebody up. You got free health care for life. Shoot somebody. You're taken care of.
All right. Okay. You're getting amped up on a lot of issues. I know. And I like it that you're getting amped up, because my next question to you,
yes,
and we
sir.
Appreciate your insight. Some very intelligent, thoughtful things right there.
Stop it.
He's sweating.
But what I want to know, Ralphie, have you ever punched anyone in the face?
Yes, I've punched people in
that's
the face.
That's where all this was going. That's all I wanted to know.
Really, Sarah Palin, punch you in the face?
I knew I had to get you fired up so you would spill this.
Yes.
And I like that you announced you're going to run for president.
I may not run for president, but definitely something.
Who'd you punch in the face and why?
Well, don't you remember the story? It was like 10 years ago.
But I want you to tell it. You tell it funnier than I do.
I was at the post office on La Cienega, which is already an infuriating place. Okay, it just infuriates you to be there. And the line was out the fucking door because the computers were down. And there was an old Russian lady in front of me, and then a douchebag, and then me. Okay, all right. And I'm listening to this douchebag fucking bitch about this is I'm trying to fucking build this, and he's just being a fucking douche and just yelling and just being an asshole on the phone and just would not shut the fuck up. All right. And then this old Russian lady, she's like 2 moments from death. All right. And she doesn't hear the Vietnamese lady at the other end.
Wait a minute. Okay. Vietnamese lady? It wasn't Kim Wow Chung Ha, was it? Because that's Adam and I's mother.
I think it was.
Okay.
I think
keep
it was.
Going.
She's
keep
a postal
going.
Worker.
Keep
all
going.
Right. At the end, say, net please. Okay. That's what she said.
Net please.
Like malaria.
Net please.
Yeah. Malaria.
Net please. Okay. And she didn't understand that. And the douchebag said, go! And nudged the old lady.
Whoa.
And the old lady fell. When that guy did that, the Southern in me came out, and I turned him around, and he wasn't that big of a guy.
Did you give him a Johnny Pound cake?
I punched him, and I knocked him. He got a concussion, they said, and from the lawyers, okay? I came out the worst way. I broke my hand. He didn't break anything. He just got
a
concussion.
Did you drop him?
Yeah, I dropped him. I dropped him.
Did you put a customs form on his forehead or anything?
No, but that would have been...
you should have
like
shipped
action
him
movie.
Off.
Yeah, that would have been the action movie move.
You should have dropped him and shipped him to Guam and have a dog feel his ass.
I got to be honest. I was scared shitless.
Oh,
I was filled
I love
with
it.
Adrenaline. I hurt. I had no money. and I went to urgent care on right
this
by
is
the
like
right.
an episode this of I shouldn't be alive all of a yeah, sudden. Yeah, I had no is. Money. I was lost. I was scared.
I'm broke as shit, okay? and I have broke a bone in my fucking hand. Oh. And Ken Jeong wrapped it for me and wrote me a prescription. And I said, Ken, I don't even have money to fill it, so fuck it. Don't do it. And he goes, I got it. Don't worry about it. And Ken Jeong was my health care. Okay, now he's on Community and he hangover and all these things, okay?
Oh,
and
my God, that dude.
Yeah, that was my buddy.
That was your... No way!
Yeah.
He's hilarious.
Yeah,
he's hilarious.
An amazing career so far.
He's hilarious.
He deserves it. He deserves every
he's
fucking
a really
bit
nice
of it.
Guy.
He's
too.
A sweetheart.
Yeah,
him and his wife Tran are phenomenal people, and they have beautiful baby. They're
By the way,
great.
People don't know this, but Ken does stand up. He's hilarious
phenomenal
on stage. He does a
phenomenal.
Whole guitar act. He raps. Yeah. He's like this Asian guy, and he raps. He goes, "Come on and give me, motherfucker."
Do you see his new Adidas? Commercial or this new commercial or I don't know if it's Adidas some sort of
some, yeah some kind of thing like that every time I see him I call him up and I just say, man, I love you, I can't believe everything you're doing, it's so phenomenal, run do everything you can. It's just a wonderful thing to see. It's like you know, one of your bros, like, you know, one of your teammates. I mean, he came and ate my house. You know what I mean? He was my man. I love that guy. He was my healthcare. He was my buddy, and we went on the road.
Wait,
we
he was your real doctor?
That's the thing, is he was a real doctor.
Yeah, he was a
he
real
is
doctor.
A real
yeah,
doctor.
He is.
Yeah, he's
but
a real
he
doctor.
Was your real doctor?
Yeah.
Because I
yours
didn't
too?
Have any.
No, not mine.
No. He worked at Kaiser, so I didn't have insurance or anything, so he would be my insurance. Like, if I get sick, he'd call in antibiotics for me and take care of me and go, hey, you got this, you know, I'll call in something for you. I mean, he wasn't supposed to do that. Like, that was totally, like,
that's
he cut a lot
cool.
of sustain. Yeah.
I'm going to go over there and get some gynecological work done.
There
does
you
he
go.
Do that?
Does yeah, he
do that?
Does. He does. He can do that.
I
he
need my
that.
Tubes tied, baby. Christmas is coming.
I know,
Are
right?
you a Christmas guy? Do you love the Christmas?
I am. I don't even happy holiday people. When people happy holiday me, I'm Merry Christmas then.
Me too, man.
Fuck
good
you.
Good for you. Fist pound,
fuck
buddy.
Pound it.
I hate to do it on your broken hand, but
no,
fist
no, no,
pound.
It's not broken anymore. It's fine now.
I know what I love the whole Merry Christmas thing.
Yeah, it's so much better.
I celebrate both. I Hanukkah, and it is the first second day now.
Oh yeah,
airs.
Happy Hanukkah!
Thank
Look
you.
Look at this. Do we have to give
My
you? Like,
Jim Rod, too. Are you from
presents.
North York?
I'm from Montreal.
Oh, you're from Montreal.
I'm from North York.
Two Canadians in the house.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
Yeah.
My wife, she grew up in North York, and she said that's the Jew district, like the rich Jew district of Toronto.
Yeah,
and like
parts
Canadians,
of it, yeah.
Canadians are that are Jewish are usually only from North York and Montreal. And that's it, basically.
And like, there's another area down, like, by this area called Bathurst, but I won't get into it.
Oh,
but.
Fuck, I played the one-nighter there at a hotel for Yuck Yucks. Ugh.
Now,
ugh.
Wait a minute. So how do you handle Christmas, because your wife's Jewish?
Yeah.
And you're Catholic?
No, I'm a church of what's happening now. I left all that shit behind me at 8, you know, when they told me Santa Claus wasn't real.
Oh.
Like, I needed Santa Claus. This is a white trash Christmas story right here.
Oh.
I was... My mom was working a couple jobs and just no money. And we got told, you know, you get to buy one pair of shoes. And I fucked up in third grade, and I was 8. And I picked some kangaroos, okay, some burgundy kangaroos.
Burgundy?
Yeah, burgundy with the Velcro, the
we
latest invention.
We got us
invention.
A player.
Yeah, but right? And with the fucking Velcros. And it had the little coin thing on the side.
Ooh, yeah.
I'm
we got
it.
A player.
And by
He's
Thanksgiving.
He's in Miami, Trick.
By Thanksgiving, they were fucking high-top flip-flops. The whole sole had ripped off the bottom of it, so I had tape on my shoes.
Aww.
And my friends made fun of me, and all I wanted, I wrote a letter to Santa Claus, and I told him I wanted Adidas, you know, and I got shoes from Walmart that looked like Adidas, but had an extra stripe on them. And they told me my mom broke it to me that Santa Claus wasn't real, because I was cussing him out, I was calling him a fuck, you know, I was so pissed, you have no idea. Everybody else wanted Star Wars shit and all this stuff like that.
You just
Not
wanted
me, G.I. Joe's. I just wanted a fucking great pair of shoes.
Aww.
That's all I wanted. And that's why as a fucking adult with money, now I've got way more shoes. I've got probably 3 times as many shoes as my wife.
How many pairs of shoes do you have?
I'd say 80.
Get out of here.
I swear to fucking God. And most of the time I just wear my boots. That's all I wear is these Echoes.
Wait a minute.
These Italian.
You have 80 pairs of shoes.
Yeah, easy.
Like running shoes or like dress
some,
shoes?
Some. It's all.
That's crazy.
It all stems from that.
Running shoes.
Wow.
That is kind of funny. Yeah. Cross trainers. Yeah, I know.
Guys collect those. There's a lot of guys I know that collect like Nikes and.
I'm the opposite. I buy a pair of shoes. I wear them until they wear out, and then I get a new pair of shoes.
Yeah,
is that crazy?
Always had more coming. You always had more, like your sensibility, your parents' sensibility when you were growing up was that, like, if you wanted for anything, you could get it.
You want to know the truth? My parents were, they did well. Mm-hmm. My father did well, but they were cheap. My parents would give me that attitude. They weren't even Jewish. No, they were Catholic. For Christmas, I'd get a pencil case.
Wow, that's
or something
fucked up.
Ridiculous.
That's fucked up
I should have
mind.
80 pencil cases in
you
my
should.
Closet.
You should. The same reasoning.
All right, Ralphie, we want to plug your dates as we keep going along here. Ralphie's a hilarious stand-up comedian. I'm going to tell you folks again. You've seen him on Last Comic Standing. You've bought his DVDs. You've seen his specials. You've seen him on The Tonight Show. He's hilarious. He's working this country. He's going to be doing some shows this weekend. Ralphie, where are you going to be? Where can they see you? Showtimes. Give us the
Man,
club.
Man, I am everywhere. If wherever you are in the nation, I'll get to you. I'm also, next spring, I'm going to Afghanistan.
Oh, wow.
With the 101st Airborne and stuff like that. And I went to Iraq with Bob Marley, our good dear friend,
Bobby Marley. Yeah.
Bobby Marley, what a genius comedian.
Check him out.
I know.
But where are you? You're here somewhere this weekend,
right?
Yeah,
this weekend I'm in Brea, but it's not going to air. This doesn't air right
this
now. Air,
yo, yeah.
It goes up tomorrow, right?
It goes up tomorrow.
Buddy.
All right,
yeah.
Then fuck me. I'm in Brea this weekend.
You're in Brea at the Improv.
And then next weekend I'm at some casino out in Palm Springs. And then Christmas time I'm in Zany's in Nashville, chilling out at my house there.
Now, do you have any new like CDs or DVDs that we can mention?
Well, I have four, and I would have three more if Comedy Central get out their ass. Nobody's buying comedy specials anymore. It's like, you know, they are like, you know, Ralphie, you put out – I taped two in one night, and then and they were like, no one had ever done that before. And then I did Ostentatious, and that one I delivered 90 minutes on. And they were like, you know, we could break this up into two if we wanted to. And I'm like, okay. But they went with a 42-minute cut. But now they go, we continually play all three of your specials that you've done for us, you know, because you write so quick and you did them so fast that – we don't need to buy any more from you. And I'm like, well, fuck it. Let's put it on anyways. I mean.
Well,
you know,
wait a minute. What about, like, do you have a website with a store where people can go and pick them up?
Yeah, RalphieMay.com. You can get all four of them on there. I have all four specials.
Go get them, folks. You've still got time.
And none of this stuff, because everybody like wants me to do old bits, but I think it's like comedy's not like like music, you know?
Yeah.
Like if you go see music and like the Stones, and you pay $150 for, you know, so-so seats. And you want to see the hits. Yeah, just the fucking hits, Mick.
Yeah.
All right, don't play your fucking new album. I don't give a shit. Like that Bruce Springsteen new song you had when Obama was being inaugurated and then the Super Bowl. That song fucking blew. Just the hits, Bruce.
That's got to be tough for a musician, too, because I went to see Billy Idol a few weeks ago.
I'm fucking
few months ago.
Myself.
I love that guy.
I fucking love that guy.
And he still got it. He still
80s
ripped.
Music is so fucking underrated, man. I'm telling you.
And he was so good. And all of a sudden, he goes, all right, everybody, now we're going to do one of our new songs. And
Check
the place,
place
just went quiet. And it was actually an okay song, but you're just kind of like, hurry up, get through. He's like, oh, Roy, thanks for letting us do it. You know, and then he bit the head off his guitarist or something.
Awesome. I love all that old stuff. I think there's a lot of great 80s music that's very underrated that we're so close to it now that we don't fucking see how great it was. You know, rock and roll really fucking changed. And unfortunately, at the end, you know, Hair kind of fucking made it comical, you know, with all these, you know, this stupid fucking lyrics like every rose has a thorn. Go fuck yourself with that stupidity. All right. But there's a lot of great fucking music, you know.
The
Cars, you know.
No. Here's the great music, Ralphie, and I hope you like this, okay? Because we're wrapping up the show. But I want to end the show because I didn't – your little kind of sad Christmas story.
I'm sorry.
So Harlan's going to sing his buddy Ralphie as we go out.
A beautiful Christmas
story. A little Christmas carol. And here it comes. I wish Ralphie a Merry Christmas. I wish Ralphie a Merry Christmas.
My Christmases are so merry now, you have no idea.
I wish Ralphie a Merry Christmas. And no drug dogs, but some new shoes.
It's a hit!
It's a hit! Ladies and gentlemen, Ralphie May.
Where did you get that?
Go to the Brit Improv.
Oh, okay.
On the radio show.
Ralphie, thank you for being on the Adam Carolla show, buddy. Hey, great to have you here, buddy.
It was great to be here, not with Adam. Where the fuck is Adam?
Hey, I'm his son.
Last time I was here, he was late. Son. This time he doesn't even show up.
Aww.
He loves me not.
He
what
loves
is he,
you.
Filming Hammer 2? What the fuck?
He loves you. We love you. Shira,
thank you
so
Shira,
much.
You're amazing. Good luck to you. Best of luck on the job. It is very difficult to recopy and banter with comedians. It really is.
You were great.
You were fucking great. Above and beyond.
And thank you over here. We have, look at this. Thank you to everyone in the booth. I'm Harlan Williams. Please check out my podcast, The Harlan Highway. You can get it at harlanwilliams.com. Or at PodTrack, and that's it. We are out of here. Happy holidays, everybody. And Adam Carolla, wherever you are, come and burp me. Good night, everybody.
And that was Harlan Williams, Ralphie May, Shira Lazar, and Bob Bryan back in 2010. I remember that show was really fun because Harlan came in. He didn't really know what to expect, what was going on. And,
what's a podcast?
Yeah.
Where's my dog mask?
I know, right, well, this is well before the dog mask. But and then Shira Lazar walked in, and it turns out that they knew each other. They like met each other at a party, and so they were just stoked that they both already knew each other, and they but they didn't realize they were both going into the same show and going to be on the same show that day. So that was kind of fun.
Bizarre.
Yeah, and Harland is the sweetest guy. So there you go. All right, let's get going with another clip from 2010. What do we got?
Adam Carolla Show 417. This is part two of the episode we opened with. We've never really done that before in a single day, part one, part two, but it felt like a good way to mix it up and put in all the content. This is part two with Andy Fickman, the guest. He's a director. At the time of this, he was actually in a 13-year relationship with Al from Step by Step, Christine Lakin. I think she was a co-host on Craig Kilborn's return to TV that was kind of short-lived. And Andy's gone and directed a bunch of movies, including Paul Blart 2. And in this portion, he's just in the studio. It's his second appearance, I believe. He gets along great with the gang. Alana Ubach's on news. Paul Bryan's in the studio. And then we get the bonus content from that deal with that specific app company that had very low sound quality. Also been separately G-mastered. And Adam takes Andy to task for using a 555 phone number in the trailer for one of his films. And, of course, in the film that Adam didn't see.
Andy Fickman, good to see you, my brother.
Always a pleasure to be here. Last time I was here, we were in the other room.
Oh, that's right.
We were like in the serial killer box back there.
Onward and upward. Andy has done a lot of big movies. Worked with Dwayne The Rock Johnson. It's, by the way, just Dwayne Johnson pretty much these days.
Just Dwayne Johnson.
And is now doing the new movie, You Again, which is the one you're seeing all over the place with Kristen Bell, Jamie Lee Curtis, Sigourney Weaver. Victor Garber's in this.
Victor Garber.
Wow.
And, of course, Betty White. And we were talking last time you were in here, when I think we're talking about Escape to Witch Mountain or whatever Disney movie you did.
Race to Witch Mountain.
Race to Witch Mountain. Sorry, I'm old school.
Old school.
About being just sort of kind of a Disney under the Disney banner.
I'm owned, being owned by Disney.
Is You Again a Disney film?
You Again is a Disney Touchstone film.
Is Touchstone is Disney or Disney is Touchstone? Is that basically it?
Yeah. I think Touchstone's a division of Disney when they want to do romantic comedies or a little bit more adult fare.
That's really sexy.
And we should get Robert Davi to star in your next Disney
movie. By the way, the most disturbing thing that I had seen in a year was walking in and watching Robert Davi hit on that girl.
Yes, I know.
Especially because I kept thinking, if Robert Davi was giving me the job option, sure. I don't know.
And your story's an interesting one. You came out here. Everyone wants an angle in this town, this business. And, whether you're a comedian or you're a director or you're a writer, whatever you are, everyone wants to know, what do I do? What do I do? How do I do this? What do I do? What's the trick? Who do you know? Who do I talk to? Who do I call? And it's like saying, what do I do to become a bodybuilder? It's like, dude, stop eating fudge, start eating chicken breasts, and hit the gym. And it's like, yeah, but how do you do? But what do you do? It's like, there's no trick. You were out in bumfuck whatever.
West Texas.
Did you go Texas Tech?
Texas Tech.
And you majored in what?
Advertising and PR. They had no film program. They had no real theater. I think there probably was a theater program.
And he was like, is there a theater? Is there films for fags? That was closest we got to that kind of faggotry is called advertisement.
But in advertising...
Oh, wait a minute. There's someone on a water tower shooting. Hold on.
Advertising where, you know, you spent... The closest thing to filmmaking was like, I think we got to work on a commercial for Bud's Chicken, which was like a local chicken shack there. And I spent weeks upon months storyboarding what Bud would want for his chicken. And I went in there and I brought in a team. And kid you not, I had worked out a fairly elaborate story. And Bud said to me, just shoot the chicken, damn it.
Yeah.
And that was the commercial. That was my big break.
So you got to do Bud's Chicken.
I got to do Bud's Chicken. I still feel like he made a mistake. My storyline was a lot stronger than what he went with. But... I'll accept it.
And you came, last time I interviewed you, I think we spoke about you coming out here and you either being an assistant or a PA or just basically just running, just being a gopher, essentially.
I was a tour guide at Universal Studios, mm-hmm. and then I went in the mailroom at a talent agency called Triad.
Yeah.
And I worked my way up from that while I was starting a theater company. And I started a theater company with one of Alana's friends, Andrew Schaefer. He was my...
Schaefer.
Crazy Schaefer. He was my partner. We started a theater company, had no money, borrowed everything, and were literally stealing pencils from the mailroom at night so we could have a theater
company. Mailroom's name for gay bar, by the way. It wasn't where he started over at William Morris.
Just to clarify, that was the mailroom.
He was working the car at the mailroom. Yeah.
Worked the mailroom.
Smart cocktail.
Push the car. Shuffle it.
Yeah. Listen, we don't do it unless you put on a manila envelope, buddy.
Lick the stamp. You don't need a machine. Lick it.
So you start off literally in the mailroom.
Literally, like it could not have been more out of some like fabulous Teddy Z. I was in the mailroom with a tie and people who were like lawyers and doctors and dancers, male dancers, a lot of male dancers in the mailroom.
Sure, and you start your own theater company for what reason?
I just wanted to meet more guys that I wasn't meeting in the mailroom. Glitter it up. Glitter bomb.
So now you start.
I started a theater company because
out here in Los Angeles,
LA, because I wanted to be a director, but I didn't have nobody wanted to see my Bud's Chicken commercial, so I didn't have a reel. And I thought, well, if I put on plays, mm-hmm. I think everybody in LA loves the theater; they'll all race out and see it and give me a chance.
Yeah.
And what happened?
That was about 10 years of a lot of theater. But I was doing development for Bette Midler, doing development for Gene Wilder, and, Bette Midler, For a hetero guy, my story is rather unique.
Yeah.
I was working for Robert Davi.
Dodging cum.
Dodging cum.
Cum grenades.
I was his reader.
Yeah.
And then, but my play, Reefer Madness, took off.
I saw that.
Rocket.
Oh, I saw it twice, man.
Nice. But when Reefer Madness took off, that literally was my film school. People saw Reefer Madness. We took it to New York, and then Showtime bought it and turned it into a musical. And so I ended up, when people are like, dude, you're doing like 99-seat theater, equity waiver. Sure. You know, nobody's good. This is never going to help your career. That one show changed everything for me.
Wow. And then what was your first directing gig or first...
Reefer Madness, by the time Showtime did it, we ended up opening for Sundance, and we helped win the Deauville Film Festival, got an Emmy. And then from there, about 3 months after Sundance, I was directing Amanda Bynes and Channing Tatum in She's the Man.
And so now what happens is you work for a company, the company likes your work, and they want to continue working with you. And so when they get projects that they think would be good for you, then they give you those projects. But then what happens is you start doing the projects that are good for you.
Oh, yeah.
And now, if you're ambitious, just like going from the mailroom, Bald Brian.
Yeah.
Just like the mailroom wasn't good enough for you. Well, now just doing sort of family-friendly comedy eventually. yeah. not going to be good enough for you, and you want to spread out.
Yes, you start spreading out. You start spreading.
You have
wings.
Another movie coming out called Solstice, and
developing a project called Solstice.
Now, how does that work?
That's well, you know, I have a first look deal with Disney, so I go to Disney and say, "Is this something you want?" Solstice is a hardcore sort of paranormal thriller.
They're hardcore.
Yeah. Yeah. Locker room.
And they're so, gonna, so for you, it's going to be a chance to spread out.
Wait, is that a music cue?
Yeah.
Mailroom.
Yeah.
$2 Jack.
So for you...
But like I'm doing a... Just recently I signed on with Anna Faris over at Universal. We're going to do a movie called TMI, which is an R-rated comedy. Mm-hmm. And very much different from the other stuff that I've done.
She's great. She's the best.
Yeah.
Doesn't she?
Yeah.
She's the best comedic actress out there.
You think so? Yeah.
She's fantastic.
I love her.
She's the best comedic actress aside from Lana.
No, God forbid. She's the coolest chick
in
the world.
Isn't she?
We partied in New Orleans.
She is a cool chick, and I got to tell you, she is not afraid. Like, the first time we got together, we were talking about wanting to push the limits wherever you can, and rather than hearing the person say, no, I don't want to say it, like, right. she would look at that Robert Davi scene and be like, bring it on.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So now you're getting to the point where people can come to you with a pitch, with an idea. And you go, all right, I got some juice over at Disney.
Yeah.
And get this good. We'll talk after the show. Jesus Christ. I got to make a movie over here. The movie, by the way, You Again, is out now since the show is going to air tomorrow. Wait a minute. It was out Friday.
Yeah, we're
right,
out.
Right.
We're
oh,
out.
Sorry. Yeah. Yeah, I was just checking. It actually did pretty good. Making $10 million.
But we were made for 19. We had this great exit score that was what we were wanting to sort of.
Now what's an exit score?
Exit score. So they do this thing, which is they do surveys all over the country on Friday and Saturday night. So as people mm-hmm. are coming out, it's the real audience's chance to say
right.
A through F, and mm-hmm. you know, we got a B+ coming out of there from across the country, and so that was big news for us.
Very
so
good
that gets people to start to spread the word.
And is it pretty much? I mean, is the business pretty much just a business? It costs $19 million to make this film, and it's going to make over $19 million. So Andy Fickman will live to fight another day.
Yeah, look, I think that there is... I haven't met too many people on the other side of the desk who are all like, I don't care if your movie sucks ass. I don't care if anyone sees it. Let's just go make... Like, they're like business people who want to know that there's a return on the investment. And more importantly, is it a long-term... Is that something that's going to have a life on DVD? Is that something that's going to have cable? So yeah, they're looking at the business and... You know, I guess if you make enough movies that have a good return, it's easier to get it.
Right.
I think if you do a lot of movies in a row that don't have a return, you just have to work that much harder to get them to give you the money the next time.
Does international money's good, right?
Yeah.
So it's good to take your film and have that film inhabited by people that are recognized outside the United States, right? So it's the
international pool.
Yeah. Sometimes when you're doing a Tom Cruise thing, you go, look, even if it's a bit of a flop domestically, it'll make a ton in Japan. And
listen, they always have that. They have that list too. They'll tell you that person who might not actually be so, you know, spot on right now in the United States, overseas. You know, it's the old David Hasselhoff thing where they're like,
sure,
you get that guy, your movie's golden. But so now you're going back and forth. When we did the game plan with The Rock, they can't sell. American football doesn't have any relationship anywhere overseas. So right. our poster was The Rock looking like a football player. And they kept telling us, your movie will never work overseas because nobody overseas cares about American football.
They call it catch.
Yes. They got, yeah. And they reshot the poster to make it look like he was standing in the middle of a soccer field.
Sure.
And the movie was a huge hit overseas. We didn't change anything, but it was like the poster had to show The Rock on a soccer field. That'll just sucker people in.
Well, they changed the names of movies.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, in Israel, my niece called me from Israel when we did She's the Man. She said that the Hebrew translation on the poster was, she's got balls.
Wow.
Like, then she's like, Uncle Andy, your movie is called She's Got Balls. I'm very embarrassed.
And in Greece, he's called The Cock. It's not even The Rock. They've actually changed
well,
the
actually,
name.
Well, actually, I will say this. When we were in Germany, Fickman is a direct translation of Man Who Fucks. That is,
wow.
Which, by the way, nobody told me this, and nobody at Disney told me, and when we were greeted by the Disney reps of Germany, you would assume that they've seen my name a thousand times, that they would, no. And so I go for my first morning interview in Berlin. It's beautiful. And the guy stops, like very serious journalist. And his translation to me is, you know that your name means man who fucks. This then became the question that everyone asked me. So at the end of the day, I go to the Disney rep, and he's like, how did it go? And I'm like, just curious. When did you know my name? He's like, oh, did they bring it up? I'm like, yeah, always. So that night, we had 1,000 people at this premiere. Dwayne, and I've now told Dwayne and Carla Gugino that my name means man of fucks. And what I hate is they're going to announce my name in front of all the children, and I'll be ridiculed.
Right.
As a Jew in Germany, that's hard enough. Right. And a lot of them knew about my mailroom dance days, and that was going to be bad.
Andy, by the way, translates into power bottom.
Power
in German,
bottom.
In German,
and,
by the way.
So there we go. The guy comes up, and I'm the first one announced. They say, Andy Fickman. The crowd breaks into thunderous laughter.
Oh, wow.
I walk the longest distance up, literally like I should just have a big dick on my head.
Sure.
At which point, Dwayne grabs the mic and trying to rile up the crowd, spends the next 10 minutes saying anything he can to work my name into a sentence. He's like, ladies and gentlemen, working with Andy Fickman. You all know what Fickman's like. Everybody likes Fickman. Then we had to race to the airport and escape.
Wow. That Dwayne Johnson, a class act. And,
yes.
As a guy who is, you know...
got a last name Johnson.
Far more than... that's a good point. Yeah, wait till we get back to the States.
Yeah, I told him the whole time it was not over.
He has made a nice transition from the wrestling ring into the silver screen. And now is at the point where, again, he's not even the Rock. I think maybe... Drop the Rock part.
He is. He's just Dwayne Johnson.
What's his... you keep in touch with
him? Yeah, all the time. He's a great, great guy.
What's great about him?
Soft lips. Nailed him. That's the Rock. He's pinned you. You know what? This is what I like about him. This is a guy who we were traveling... You know, I'm from Texas. We go back to see my family in Houston, and on the press tour... Every time you go on the press tour, you know, they take you to some fancy schmancy restaurant where they're going to feed you. And as we're going there, he said, look, I want to go to we're going to be in Texas. I want to go to one of your favorite barbecue places. I was like, look, I'm going to warn you. My favorite barbecue place isn't going to be like Morton's with the fire. We went to a place that truly, Luling's in Houston, Texas, they put your meat on just a piece of paper, like a paper towel. There's no plate. They put your meat on paper towel, and you carry your paper towel. I don't know what the theory is that we can't afford plates in Texas, but meat on paper towel and sauce and I thought for sure Dwayne was going to have he was going to.
What was the place called?
Luling's.
Luling's.
Luling's in Houston, Texas.
Wow, it's weird. We're just talking about barbecue joints and Dwayne fit right in.
Not only fit right in. Ask me all the time, hey, next time we're back there, let's go to Luke. Like, he's that type of guy.
Yeah.
And also, here's the other thing. I've never seen a star who, when they're walking through a crowd where everyone's screaming, it's not like you can't see this guy. This guy will stop for every photograph, every autograph. This guy lets his fans be a part of his world.
Well, you know, I think what a lot... Everyone thinks these guys are prima donnas or whatever, but they don't realize a guy like Dwayne Johnson has such a... strong work ethic to get where he is, to play, you know, his background in sports, to come from where he comes from, to get where he is today. A guy like that cannot do it without a ton of discipline.
Yeah.
And guys who have a ton of discipline seem to have a lot of respect for other people for some reason. And I think I'm going to go ahead and chalk it up to football and athletics. Those guys just, they're used to, A, having a coach, having an authority figure.
Yep.
They're not like, get the fuck out of my face. I'm a foot taller than you, and I could crush you, and how dare you tell me. They're used to team sports. Like, they're used to going, okay, this is an ensemble.
Yep.
And I guess making a movie and the 3 or 4 months it takes to make a movie with the director being the coach and maybe the star is the quarterback, and then you have your best friend who's the tight end, and you can keep going with the analogies. It's about as long as a football season. It takes about the same effort. And if you have a really shitty attitude, you're probably not going to win too many games.
Yeah.
And he seems to bring that sports mentality to the set.
He also goes
never around, met the man, by the way, but I'm basing it all.
No. Listen, he will go around every night when we wrap. That guy will go around and handshake every crew member. Wow. He will thank. He will remember crew members. He hears somebody's got a family or a birthday or something. Like, mm-hmm. That's who he is. But it's the work ethic. Like I said, this is a guy who, you know, his life changed in high school with football. A coach really turned his life around and played, you know, Canadian Football League, got injured at, in Florida during college football. This is a guy who has been on all ends of the spectrum.
The thing that's always funny about pro wrestling is people are like, yeah, I blew out my knee or I hurt my back playing football, so I had to quit playing football and then get into wrestling.
And it's break
like
everything.
Smash cut to them being on top of a turnbuckle with a folding chair.
Yeah. Music.
Doing a backflip and landing on a guy who's playing cards with a bull. And it's like, you got injured, so you had to hang up the cleats?
Yeah.
And do what? Get in a speedo and get on a turnbuckle? And then jump on the announcer's folding table two stories below you? Like, it doesn't seem like when the doctor said, hey, man, you got a pinched vertebra or bad disc or something, like your playing days are over. I don't think he meant then to get up on the turnbuckle and drop onto 300-pound dudes.
3 days before we started filming Game Plan, where he played a quarterback on the football field at Gillette Stadium, he snapped his Achilles heel.
I heard him interviewed, and the Achilles heel is literally the Achilles heel of all athletes, and because guys just the greatest athletes in the world just go, what happened? Well, I was picking up a bucket of chicken on my way home. I heard a pop, and it's like, what? You played in four Pro Bowls. You're the greatest outside linebacker.
Freak accident.
I bent over to pick up some cat shit in my driveway, and heard a pop. And it's like, doing what?
We saw the footage. From the rehearsal, I was expecting something, a rollout, and he twisted, and he literally takes two steps, goes up to and pop.
What is to stop the Achilles heel from popping, Achilles from popping all the time? Why doesn't it happen to us?
This is what they say. There's a perfect alignment that can happen with your foot that when it hits one spot and another spot, that's where it snaps.
And it makes a sound.
It makes a pop that you can hear that it literally, and he knew without being diagnosed, he went down and he knew he heard the pop. He knew it was the
Achilles. And I'm sure he played 11 years of football. Never.
That's the thing. This guy literally, like, this is 3 days before filming where you're on the football field and nobody's, you know, blitzing you at that. Like, you're the star of the movie. Everyone's just practicing. Sure. And, it shut us down for a couple of months, and that guy willed himself back to hell.
Wow. That's the warrior mentality. All right, Alana, do you have the rest of the news? And,
yeah.
And you want to hang in?
Yeah. I got a confession to make. You know, years ago, I used his name to book a hotel room at the Bellagio for New Year's Eve because everything was booked.
Yeah.
So I pretended I was his manager, and I was calling from CAA, and they got very excited. We got a free room!
What did you sound like? Did you do a crazy voice?
Yes, I'm calling on behalf of...
Hello, this is the Bellagio.
Yes, may I speak to the head desk, please?
This is he.
Hi, my name is Alana, and I am actually calling for my client, The Rock, and he would like The Rock.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson?
May I speak to your manager, please?
He would like to do what with our hotel?
Well, he would like to book a suite on New Year's Eve.
Well, normally we're booked up this time of year, but not for Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Mm-hmm. And he's engaged.
Blow out his Achilles up here anytime.
Free champagne would be. He loves Cristal.
Ooh,
yes, and he loves fruit baskets.
Is that the name of the hooker you want us to bring by?
Fruit baskets.
So you book a suite, but at a certain point, don't they want the guy to show up?
So weren't they looking for The Rock?
Oh, no, I called up. I walked in. I checked in, pretending I was his manager.
But don't
like
they
his
know
assistant.
You from movies?
No, they didn't know me back then, baby.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I checked in, and all my friends walked up, and we got a free room. Everyone thought it was The Rock, and it was for free.
Really?
Was there a bottle of champagne waiting
sure
for you?
Sure. Now, it wasn't Cristal, Pierre Jouet, but still. I mean, it was a thought
I'm
that counts.
I'm going to take a little offense. I feel like calling Dwayne and telling him that they didn't send Cristal for him. Like they had downgraded him. What if he had been there? He would have been pissed as shit.
Yeah, we got like a box of dates.
Yeah, he ain't staying in the Bellagio.
I tried that at the Four Seasons, except for I used fucking Agnes Moorehead.
Oh.
And it was like, I didn't explain. She was the mom and Glendora and Bewitched. And like, I didn't see that show. I'm 23. And I was like, I should have went with The Rock or someone more current, but I thought.
Jeffrey Jones. You should have
gone with. I should have gone with.
Irene Ryan. You could have gone with Irene Ryan.
Right.
All right. A little more.
Okay. Now, speaking of which, you guys, this is uncool. Former Ferris Bueller's Day Off star, Jeffrey Jones, nine times. He played
Nine times.
He played Principal Rooney, pled guilty yesterday to a charge of failing to update his sex offender registration.
Nine times. Renew his registration.
Gummy bears, oh, warm, yeah. Okay.
And so you get pulled over. I'm sorry, the tags on your balls are expired, sir.
I got some gummy bears warm in my pocket. Uh-huh. Jones was arrested in 2003.
Raping license?
Yeah.
Okay, display in your underpants, sir?
Okay. He pled not guilty to a minor for the purpose of taking sexually explicit photos.
Nine times.
As part of his original deal, he was required to register annually as a sex offender, but was arrested last year after failing to do so. As part of his new deal, Jones was sentenced to 3 years formal probation and must complete 250 hours of community service in a roadside cleanup program.
Can I say this?
Such a little asshole.
Why is considering LA? Here's what we have. There's some disconnect here because we have some of the filthiest roads in the United States. You just drive around Hollywood and there's fucking weeds and garbage and diapers,
Chaka.
And bullshit, fucking graffiti. Spread out everywhere. I mean, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
LA roadsides are 101. When you go from downtown LA into the valley, the sides of fucking freeway, it is like the fucking road that Mel Gibson drove down in Mad Max. It's a fucking disgusting. Yet every single celebrity is getting a couple hundred hours of roadside cleanup. When is that going to translate into actual roadside? Is it the same fucking stretch up in Mount Pinos?
The streets of Malibu are gorgeous.
Yeah, what's going on? How about we get some of these cocks to clean up some of the trash on the fucking freeway if that's their sentence?
Yeah, that's interesting.
Trash on the side of the freeway.
Well, a lot of my friends have actually just paid off a couple of people to not do those hours.
And really?
They'll get the signed release, turn it in, and that's it.
Really?
That's why you see those McDonald's cups on the side.
I like it when they have to wash the cop cars. So you see, like, Robert Downey Jr.
Oh, yeah.
If I was a cop, I couldn't help but walk out. Hey, Bobby Jr., you missed a little bird shit on the windshield.
You in tough turf.
But do you really want like a bunch of like the sex offenders like outside like sweeping in front of your like gutter and be like
school bus broke down. I'll get to that.
Hey kids, time to recycle.
Oh boy. Listen, here's the thing too. Is there ever a good story? Like, I mean, when the guy like goes,
you got to read the New Yorker.
Listen, trust me, I had a lot of child pornography on my computer, but it's because I was researching. I was doing a musical.
Great story.
That took place in Thailand, and I was. It's like, is it ever that the guy doesn't like
character study? I was.
Is there something there? It's never that, is it?
Oh yeah, no. Actually, Ace, it was with Pete Townsend.
Pete Townsend.
Oh yeah,
he was. I forget what he was studying, but he was. That was his. Excuse, and it was believable because he was working with a organization that was trying to put an end to child pornography.
Oh.
That's why he said it was on the computer. That's exactly what he said.
Still, Betty Squeeze went off to one of those kids.
Swank magazine.
Nine times. And it's, you know, I mean, Garfunkel getting pulled over and having marijuana and getting busted for that. He should get busted for not having marijuana. It's all screwed up.
All right. What's the next story? Do you have
another story? I do. Wrong winner announced during Aussie Top Model finale.
Aussie. There's a top model. Those chicks aren't hot enough.
Yeah.
They're too skinny and too weird.
Yes, you do. And speaking of Aussie, you have got to look up this little essay written by a really angry seventh grader on koalas. You have to look it up. Look up on Google, angry koala essay. You will smoke a joint, and you will crack the fuck up for at least 7 days. I promise. Anyway.
All right.
Okay, so somehow we think Tyra Banks would never let this happen. The finale of Australia's Next Top Model aired live the other night, and boy, was there a huge mistake.
Unlike the U.S. show, the winner is chosen by votes from the audience, and after much celebration, host Sarah Murdoch announced that a 19-year-old named Kelsey had beaten fellow competitor Amanda for the top prize. But after interviewing Kelsey, someone off stage, who was being threatened to be killed, informed Sarah that she had been given the wrong name and that Amanda was the real winner. Surprisingly, Kelsey handled the mix-up like a true champ. And for her professional behavior, producers are giving her $25,000 plus a free trip to New York to meet with a modeling agency.
How does it? All right, here's what. At least we're shipping in some models because we're doing a lot of shipping out models. We export a lot of models. Like every model you talk to is like, oh, I was born in Kentucky, but I moved to France when I was 15 to model. And I always think, hey, why are we kicking our hot chicks out? Could be some 16-year-old fucking her in Kentucky, and yet we're having some Arab guy bang her in France.
The Russian
and by the way, you got France, you don't have hot chicks? You have a shortage of hot chicks like in Europe? Like, what do you need our hot chicks for? So it's nice to have to steal some hot chicks from Australia, but if you're from Australia, like you're going to the high school that these chicks are going to, and you're like, hey, Becky's fucking smoke. Where's Becky? Ah, shipped out. What? Who got her? America. Now I'm fucking Matthew McConaughey's fucking John Mayer's fucking her. God damn, I was going to ask her to the prom.
Once we get them, they're never going back either.
Oh, that's the whole thing. That's what I ran into when I went to DeKalb, Illinois. About 250 times people brought up the fact that Cindy Crawford was born here. Cindy Crawford, well, you know, Cindy, about the 1800th person that told me Cindy Crawford was born in DeKalb, I said, where's she now? And she went, what? I said, she was born in DeKalb, but soon as she took a look in the mirror at 14 and a half, she split for New York, and now she lives in Malibu. Does she live in DeKalb, Illinois now? No.
Little Miss Moisturizer's being born,
it's not where you're born, it's where you end up. That's where you need to brag about. Malibu should be bragging. Hey, guess who lives here? Not who was born here. Because the people that were born there, there's just a sign there, but they're never there.
Like Pamela Anderson sign.
That's totally random where you're fucking born.
Yeah.
The stork just dropped their hot chick off in DeKalb, and as soon as she hits her 15th birthday, she was like, I'm fucking out of here.
And she,
it's not like she hangs out.
But how many? What I'm curious is how many top model franchises are around the world? Because at a certain point,
who owns them?
Your country probably doesn't have enough to mount a top model franchise.
Yeah, like the Ukraine,
right? Like
we could only field six girls. Right,
there's
season.
A lot of like women who are big with like potato farmers, stout women. Like Australia, I still get the like Elle Macpherson of it all,
sure.
But I think. I'll be curious.
Yeah, some of these.
Poland's Moscow. Probably got a few.
Some of these places where the permafrost is on the ground year round.
Yeah.
The chick with the babushka and the big gut.
You probably don't see their version of Tyra Banks.
Nursing a kid the whole time and smoking.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know. They're just smart. I just got back from Stockholm, and the women, everyone looks like fucking Uma Thurman.
Really?
I thought I was like a biological
in Stockholm?
Mistake. Yes. I really.
What are we doing over there?
I was there with my boyfriend. We were out there visiting
friends.
Yes, he's from there. Very Nordic. And everyone there was blonde. I mean, people, you know, not one black person. And just me, little Mexican. They were about to sacrifice me.
Really?
And I split down.
They were like, oh, fuck, now we got to lock the doors.
They thought, oh, lunch.
We got a Mexican in town. Word goes around. All right, everyone lock up your doors.
Let's make some speech with me.
We'll sleep with our doors unlocked when she gets on that Pan Am flight.
Y'all will make spickish meatballs.
First of all, the greatest accent ever. Berlitz would like you to come in.
Oh, yeah.
That is awesome.
It's a series of cassettes.
It's taken me a while to perfect it. We've been together for about a year.
That's awesome.
Well, you're off to, yes. Yes. What are you doing, Pelle? I'm going to ask sushi for lunch, you know.
Is he very European? Does he wear weird frames and weird shoes?
He used to.
Glasses?
But then he met the girl from Downey, and I've changed that.
Got his shoes.
Does he smoke skinny cigarettes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And does he have, like, small, when he drinks his coffee, he really just wants the small, like, cup of it?
Yeah.
It's like somebody said,
really
listen, can you just take all the caffeine out of a 42-ounce Starbucks and put it into a thimble?
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I have fucking time to nurse all, and I don't want to piss all day. We're not productive in this country because everyone's just pissing. You're drinking Starbucks and energy drinks all day, and it's like, where's Stan? He's pissing.
Little Dixie cup. They get very excited, like, and they'll stop, and they can make that Dixie cup last like an hour.
Where it's like,
smoke their skin.
Well, think of IKEA. Everything's kind of whimsical and small.
You don't need a Quaalude the size of a Frisbee. You just need a fucking Quaalude, right?
Yeah,
that's
you
just
do.
What the effect, right?
Yeah.
You want to gnaw on the thing.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
Salt licks, a Quaalude. And it's the same with, it's really, caffeine's just a drug. You know, you just want to get it in your system.
I need the quickest way to get it.
You know what we want to do? And by the way, well, first off, we want to turn the coffee drinking into a ritual where we sit around for an hour and bang out shit on our laptop. And not to mention the stuff dumped all over. Boy, the commuter mug business must really not be in great shape over there in Stockholm. Like,
oh,
imagine
yeah,
the commuter
yeah.
mugs, size of a,
like little.
Yeah, just yeah, like
a thimble.
Midget. Yeah.
Just a thimble.
Yeah. You could probably
mug.
Just hang it from your phone and it could just dangle. And you could just stick your tongue up and just dab it, like a little dab into your mouth.
Yeah, it's like a toilet paper roll.
So things working out for you and he?
Yeah.
You met his parents?
Yeah, I did.
Did they judge?
In Trossa. No,
did they know you from the movies?
She started crying. Yeah, his dad saw my tits and everything on Hung. He was very proud of his son.
Oh, yeah, you got naked on Hung.
Yeah,
that's right.
I did. His entire family. His brother Linus and Osa.
Linus, I love the crazy
names.
Great name? Linus.
His brother's name was Linus.
And Charlie Brown. So, did they watch you on Hung?
They did. They actually were able to see it. I couldn't believe it.
And by the way, do they call it Hung there? Because Hung probably doesn't mean. That means right. like you're hanging somebody. Hung. I think some.
Yeah, what is the translation?
Oh, that's a great question. It's called Hung. I'm
that
sure.
Is.
Yeah, everyone speaks English in Sweden. It's like Spanish.
Are they just smarter than we are? Are they better?
They're a little progressive. I mean, you know, in the first two years of a kid's life, the father stays home.
Uh-huh.
He can stay home and get paid while the mother usually goes out and works. It's pretty
mm-hmm.
wild.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you know, it's very socialist.
Side
obviously.
Of the freeway doesn't look like our freeways. We're going to have a bunch of pedophiles with the nails on the end of a stick picking up garbage.
Yeah.
Get your hair
nice.
You're better than
nine. Wait, but every father stays home for 2 years?
He can. Yeah, absolutely. And still get paid. And he takes a 2-year leave and then he comes back and everything's cool.
You know what it's I would do? I'd be like, I'd stay home for the first 2 years, but about 13, 14 months in, I'd be like, honey, you got to get pregnant again.
Yeah.
Because I've got, first off, I got my stories.
Yeah.
I'm used to my stories
you
now.
You don't want to get away from your stories.
I don't want to get away from my stories. I've settled in. I put on about 50 pounds of sympathetic weight, and I ain't going nowhere. So I don't care if you got to get the fucking gardener to knock you up.
You figured out.
I ain't fucking going anywhere.
You figured out the breastfeeding. You're comfortable with that now?
It was more the emotional hurdle I had to get over. Forget about the physiological stuff. Emotionally, that's what they don't tell you about as a male breastfeeding.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the way they look when you're at the park, and I have this blouse with the thing that pops open. And here's the thing. You're just going to have to get knocked up. We'll do the math. It's 24 months. It's 9-month gestation period. So I'm going to need you to get knocked up about every 15 months.
Yeah. Right?
You should. Way, I'm not going
They
anywhere.
Should do a survey and see how many families have like kids that are sort of like a year and a half apart. You just sort of keep going. And you realize that was the dad
genius.
Who figured it out.
If you take a look at the same countries that have like a lot of these progressive countries will have like unemployment where, hey, you can have 3 years of unemployment mm-hmm. or 4 years of unemployment.
Right.
Magically, when you look at the statistics of when people get a job, it's, well, 4 years and then a day before the unemployment, match up, found a job.
Woo.
So there's that, hey, look out. So if your unemployment lasts 3 weeks, then you find a job in 3 weeks. If it lasts 3 years, you find a job in 3 years. The part where the government doesn't know that's how human beings work, that's the confusing part to me.
Mm-hmm,
I would. Exactly. Oh, I'd love to be. I would love to be Mr. Mom.
Yeah, it's cool.
That'd be nice.
But it's tough. You know, honestly, if you are very, very ambitious, it's really hard to get ahead out there because you have to give 50% to the government.
Ugh.
So if you're making $250, you're making $125 or $100.
Yeah.
It's really impossible to really become a mogul out there.
Yeah. Don't know.
But you have all those Nordic chicks.
Yeah.
Oh my, they're perfect.
Right?
So,
oh my God, they've eaten sandwiches bigger than me.
So you might be making less money, but the odds that you're going to strike oil somewhere.
You're getting some good pussy.
You don't even have to go to the mailroom at that point.
Sorry. Hey, did I say that?
Yeah, yeah, that's fine.
Is that okay? Can I say that on
line? I was
nine times.
Oh, yeah, I got to, we need to wrap this up, but I was going to, somebody gave me a good note to talk with Andy about during the Stitcher extra content, and it was the 555 numbers that he used in his movie. I got a bone to pick with you, but I will pick that bone in our Stitcher extra content if you can hang out for 1 minute.
And now, your Adam Carolla Extra.
All right, sitting here with Andy Fickman. Andy has done the movie You Again, and I was complaining about the commercial for You Again about 2 weeks ago on the show when Betty White gave out the 555 phone number. And I know, and now when I watch movies, any movie, really, you see him come back, what's the phone? 555. And it, when I hear 555, it's like somebody screeched on the brakes and said, we're making a movie. Why not avoid the 555? How can you avoid the 555?
The only way to avoid it, there's two ways. One is don't say any phone number.
Yes.
Or show any. Or you can come into a phone number about a quarter of the way through, but you got to make sure it doesn't sound like you can't say, I'm in Beverly Hills, and then all of a sudden just say, call me 4768, because they'll assume that's 310-4768.
Right.
And that, and
legal, but how many digits can you get into a number?
You can get, if you're not, I think the rule is, if you're non-specific, if I'm just like anywhere USA,
right,
I can probably get, I can get four digits. I maybe could maybe even get five. If right. I'm in a city that we've claimed that we're there, I can probably only get four digits. And even that's tricky. I probably most likely would get three digits.
Now, my grandmother had the phone number 763, and I won't give the rest, although you'll probably just hear her outgoing message, sadly. But she passed away. Could I sell her 763? She had that 763 number in North Hollywood for like 57 years.
I will say this. When we filmed that, Betty, I think, said, instead of 555, I think she said something like 575. Like she, it sounded like she didn't say 555. Letters and email. There was more legal department activity getting us to make sure that we cleared that one. She had to go in and re-record the five.
But you could do it. I mean, you'd have to work the script that way, but you could work it where I said, oh, yeah, call my grandma. She's at 818-763. And then somebody jumped in and went, hold on.
Yeah.
That you can do.
You could start it a certain way, though the studios in general, it's the prefix that gets them so worked
it's
up.
It's a weird thing to me because the whole notion of a movie is you're asking people to think that Kristen Bell is this person and Betty White is this person. And that's why in a movie, Kristen Bell's name's not Kristen Bell.
Right.
She has a different name
right.
because you want to create this illusion. When I hear 555, it's like someone hit someone in the head with a boom mic.
But, and that's the flip side. You know, people always, I get a lot of complaints where people will say, you know, oh, why? It always feels like product placement if they're holding a Coke.
Right.
Well, our only other option is if Coke was the one who gave us the rights to do it, the only other option is making a white can that says Cola.
Right.
And which to me takes you straight out of the movie.
Which my parents would have bought.
They would have bought the Cola.
If they had it at Lucky's.
So you are, in every effort to try to make it feel real, you try to populate it with Diet Coke or whatever you can. Like, I love the idea when you can see real stuff on there.
I do too. And I always, it always bothers me when they do, especially sports movies, and they can't get hold of a college or a real college.
We, our game plan up till right before filming, we were close to closing a deal with the NFL. A deal that, by the way, had not happened since, I think, Jerry Maguire was the last time.
Right.
And at the very last minute, the NFL and Disney could not come to terms.
Financial
terms. Now, at that point, we still have the Kraft family, Gillette Stadium, everybody that was involved with the Patriots. We had Under Armour, so we quickly went ahead. Under Armour, who makes a lot of the uniforms for the NFL,
sure,
they stepped in and created everything. Kraft family, Gillette Stadium, everyone stayed on board. But it screwed us because we were, you're doing that thing where, and we, you know, we got all of ESPN, we got, you know, Marv and Boomer, we had as much as we could, yet you're still doing that thing where you're like, you know, the Boston Rebels.
Right. Well, here's what I don't understand about business, and it's the same thing with like music. You know, you say, you know, forget about the Beatles or the Who, but you just pick some Herman's Hermit song from the 50s, you know, and you go, hey, we'd like to use Mrs. Jones, You Have a Lovely Daughter in our movie. We'll give you 25 grand. And they go, you know what? It's 100 grand. And you go, what? You know, it's not like that song's getting a lot of spins right now. And our movies, we're going to play it in a real playful scene, romantic scene in the movie. And the movie could be successful. And if it is, it could do for you what you've lost that love and feeling in Top Gear did for the Righteous Brothers. So here's 25 grand more than you had before.
Right.
And here's a nice big platform to expose your song that's 57 years old. And you'll bet you'll move a bunch of units on iTunes when this movie goes number one. And they go, thanks, but no thanks. And then you realize, all right, now I'm going back to my camp with a generic song, a sound alike or feel alike to my Herman's Hermit song. The Herman's Hermit's estate or their whatever Polygram or whatever they're on goes back with no money and no exposure. Awesome business. Everyone's happy.
Now it will happen a lot of times because usually, you know, publishing gets half and that matches what the artist gets. So theoretically, they'll say, okay, it's $50,000, 25, 25. Herman, he says, no, I don't want to do it. So the deal's over. Publishing will come back and they'll say, tell you what, we'll still give you, we'll sell you the rights. If you guys go re-record it and you get that sound alike who comes in and sounds
right
just like Herman.
Right.
And you go in and now for $30,000, because you paid that guy $5,000.
Sure.
And now somehow you still, so the artist sometimes can
those
still
get. Those are the CDs
get,
you buy at the car wash.
Yep.
And it's funny when the artist, it's like sung, or it's like you hear like Midnight Train to Georgia by Gladys Knight, sung the original, and then you get about two bars in and you hear weird synthesizer in the background and you're like, what the fuck? This is, but it says originally sung by, and then you go, what the fuck? Yeah. I've been raped at the car wash. That should be our next film.
Raped at the car wash. But you'll get calls from the publishers also. You know, they'll bait and switch because they'll say, well, I know you can't afford that song.
Right.
But, you know, Herman, they wrote a song 10 years earlier that no one's ever heard.
Right.
You can have that for $8,000. He'll drive it over to your house.
Well, yeah, they have Mrs. Higginstaller. You have a lovely daughter that never did chart that you can have for bottom prices. But here's what I don't understand ultimately, and I'm sure you'll never be able to explain it in the 1 minute that we have left. NFL, Disney, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, family-oriented, friendly movie, NFL, biggest sports conglomeration in the world. What's the hurt? Is it going to hurt the NFL? It's just one more place that we can see the Patriots logo, one more place that we can see the Dolphins insignia, one more time we can hear the NFL. And I understand it's not a, you know, Al Pacino, Oliver Stone thing where it's like, you know, an indictment and there's steroid abuse and we don't want that kind of language and sex. No, this is a family-friendly thing. This is win-win. It's like when the kids from 90210 are going off to college. Can't they just fucking go to UCLA? Do they have to go to California College and wear some fake, you know, home of the water lilies? Like, how about they just go to UCLA? Yeah, like, isn't this win-win for the NFL?
I'll put it this way. And by the way, NFL had, we had done the NFL notes and had taken out everything.
I love that. I love when they have notes.
So we had already gone through the NFL. I'll put it this way. NFL, Disney come together. NFL has a sponsorship with Chevy.
Mm-hmm.
Disney has a sponsorship with Ford.
Mm-hmm.
When we're making the movie, well, if Disney has the sponsorship with Ford, we're going to put a bunch of Fords in there.
Right.
NFL says, well, we're the NFL. You have to override your sponsorship.
Right.
And Disney's like, no, we're Disney. You have to override your sponsorship. And that.
But I do like when they go through the script and they're like, yeah, that scene where the big Samoan nose tackle took a whiz in the jacuzzi. Yeah, we don't want that. We don't feel like. And you go, it's a joke. He didn't pee in the jacuzzi. The scene, he jumped out, and then he said to everyone, I just peed in the jacuzzi, and everyone jumped out of the jacuzzi, which you should have had that scene in there, by the way. But it's a joke. We're just joking. They're like, yeah, we don't feel like that represents it. It's like, first off, one of your guys gets pulled over for fucking DUI every other week. Another guy fucking strangles his girlfriend. The other guy fucking falls off a pickup truck when he's chasing his fucking girlfriend, trying to strangle her. Another guy shoots himself in the fucking thigh. Another guy's fighting dogs in his fucking backyard and his bad to the bone kennel. Don't you fucking think we know what goes on?
The week that they asked us, we had one joke.
Hypocrites.
We had one joke that was a steroid joke.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
the,
no.
They told us they wanted us to remove it because they said they didn't like the image it portrayed of the NFL. The week that, like, three of their players had all been busted for, like, carrying firearms onto the field. So we cut the thing, but, yeah, it does crack us up a lot.
Again, just ultimately, this is great for your film that Dwayne The Rock Johnson can play for the New England Patriots. It's great for the Kraft family. It's great for the people who live in the New England area. It's great for the NFL. Just, it's so fucking easy.
It's a big family. And the fact that ESPN...
And it's a family movie.
It's a family movie. You're at Gillette State. Like, what's the worst thing that can happen? I got to give Under Armour credit because they were prepared with the cost, with the uniforms. And then all of a sudden, the minute that it went under, they were like, look, we put uniforms together for college teams all the time. We can make this happen.
And they made them custom.
They customed it all up for us.
Well, thank you for that insight, Andy.
Anytime I can help.
Our pleasure.
That was your Adam Carolla Extra.
Now some bonus content back in 2010 of ACS. So a lot of people might not even have heard that. So love whenever we get to play that. Some of those bonus clips. And that will do it for today's Corolla Classics. But stick around because we have a Sunday episode, so subscribe to that feed and you'll find us there tomorrow. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
It's an all Dave Damashek episode tomorrow per a listener request. Something we weren't ready to do for quite some time, but maybe we'll start doing, and we'll start with Dave. Tune in tomorrow. Mahalo and get it on.
All this month, stream the funniest films for free on Pluto TV. Watch comedy classics like Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy, and Mean Girls. Or drop in for a Tyler Perry marathon with a Madea family funeral and Madea's witness protection. Pluto TV also has hundreds of channels and thousands of movies and TV shows like Get Shorty, Be Cool, Key and Peele, Comedy in Color, and more. And no contracts, no subscriptions, no fees, no joke. So download the Pluto TV app on your favorite streaming device and start laughing today. Pluto TV, drop in, watch free.